Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about women's sports. Today's guest is Jenna Barron. She will share insight into her high school basketball journey, her college career at Bates, and how all that led to her becoming a professional football player with the Maine Mayhem. It's going to be a great episode, so we're excited to dive right in with Jenna. Jenna, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. As I actually met Jenna when we were at a Festival of Trees in downtown Augusta, Maine, and I saw her size. And I said to myself, she has got to be some kind of athlete. And little did I know that she was not only a basketball player, but now she is turning that into a football career. So I'm excited to chat with you and hear all about it. So I understand that you've been playing, obviously, basketball since you were 10 years old. You played travel basketball, school basketball, the usual, the AAU stuff, which I, of course, very familiar with. You went to Hampden Hall Country Day School in Hampden, Connecticut. And the funny story is, it's a small world. I literally went to Quinnipiac, which was not even 2 miles from there.
Close. Yeah, that's so close. Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting when I saw your story here. And then obviously you were doing the usual, right? Getting recruited in high school. Talk to me first about that process. You're kind of part of this new generation that's, you know, heavily getting recruited. There's so much time and effort going in. You know, talk to me about that process.
It was definitely, I see how it definitely could have been overwhelming for someone in high school age going through that. But that's where I just have so much gratitude for my father. He definitely was really good at articulating to me like the next step in whatever the process was, and not to overload me with too much all at the same time. And because both my younger sister and I, we both played college basketball. So with me, because I'm the oldest, he was kind of going through it with me as far as like on the parent side, you know, like what AAU team do I join? What are the showcase tournaments that I have to make sure I'm signed up for? Like stuff like that. So this was stuff that information that he was getting by talking to other parents, other coaches, attending seminars, all of that kind of stuff. So this way I wasn't, you know, a 15, 16 year old girl just feeling stranded on an island. So, I'm very grateful for him taking the first step in that for me. But it was definitely, you know, it's a crazy time. Your body gets no rest because, as you're probably aware, you play your high school basketball season, which, you know, preseason starts October, November, and then straight into games throughout winter break, throughout February break, throughout all of that. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to make it into the postseason, that's most of March. And then AAU starts in April, and then that goes until July, August. And then you have the month of September and like half of October to recover, and then boom, right back into it again. So it's a grind, and I could see how it could definitely be overwhelming, but I'm really grateful that there was a lot of things like logistical things that was taken off of my plate, because my dad was very much like, I want you to focus on improving your skills, just getting better at playing the sport that you love, and really focus on your goal. And my goal was to play college basketball. And he took care of all the back end stuff. And I'm just really grateful for that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I know, obviously, like you said, being the oldest, you were the first one to go through it. So that was really nice that he was able to do that for you. And, you know, I talk with parents all the time that are the first time, right? It's first timers, you know, it's very stressful, I'm sure. And for him to take that on, what advice would you have for, you know, an athlete that's going through this process right now in high school?
I would say talk to as many people as you can, and don't be shy to talk to people. Don't be shy to put yourself out there, because the more people you talk to, the more information you're going to learn, and you'll be able to find out things. Like, for instance, I was asking around some of my high school teammates and that were, you know, older than me. I would be like freshman, sophomore, and some of the seniors, they were like, you know, starting to commit to these schools to play basketball. And so I was just trying to pick their brains as much as I could to see what that process looked like to them, maybe places that they've attended that should be on my radar of where I should go to, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a great resource, is using, the people you already have in your corner, your teammates. Yeah. And, even your coaching staff, honestly, pick their brains as much as you can too, because a lot of them have some really good knowledge and some really good insight. Like my high school basketball coach, she played both at Quinnipiac. She played both women's basketball, women's soccer, so she knew how that whole process worked. Granted, she went, you know, back in like the later 90s, early 2000s, so it's changed a lot since then, but she at least still was able to know kind of the structure. So she was a really good resource as well.
Well, now you've got me just really curious, because you're talking my wheelhouse right now at Quinnipiac. What's the name of your coach there? It was at Hamden.
Megan Borelli.
Oh, okay. I don't know Megan, but I believe
she graduated early 2000s, like 2003 or 2004, somewhere around there.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I will have to look into that. I was very familiar with Ashley Kelly, actually, at the time, who was at Quinnipiac, went on to be one of their like all-time leading point scorers. And actually, talking about coaches, Trisha Sacca-Fabri is still there at Quinnipiac. So, you know, you talk about how coaches stick around, they get this experience, and they know other people. It's networking, really, at the end of the day, to get recruited. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah.
All right, cool. So now let's take you from high school, where you go and you do the AAU circuit. You've had all these kind of decisions to make, choices, and you decide on Bates. Why Bates?
Why Bates? It kind of just came down to the team and coach and just kind of the feel, how I meshed with them. So later in the recruiting process, for your top handful of schools, you'll usually have an overnight visit. And that's when you go overnight. It's kind of like a sleepover with one of the teammates on the team. They'll be kind of like your host. But with that, you'll usually play pickup with the team. You'll get more of an in-depth meeting with the coaching staff and all of that kind of stuff. And so I did that process with several schools, and it was great. Like I didn't have a bad experience at any one. But I just really meshed well with Coach Montgomery at Bates, and I really liked her vision and how driven she was. And Julia Middlebrook, so she was a senior my sophomore year at Bates. She is like, I've never met a person in my life that matched this level of energy before.
Wow. And
so when I was a senior in high school, she would have been a sophomore at Bates. Yeah, because she was 2 years older than me. Okay. And so I remember for my overnight, I have to be this girl's teammate. Like, that's all that, like, I was like, I need to be there for this. I was like, something amazing's going to happen and I need to be here for this.
Wow.
And it was just really cool. And then, it was definitely like my first year at Bates, we made it into the postseason, which was good. Our goal was to make it into the postseason, which was what we did. But I think we definitely cut ourselves short, because once we reached our goal of making it to the postseason, we kind of like like reflecting back on that year, I think in our heads, we're all like, oh, yay, like we reached our goal. But then we weren't focused on the next page of seeing how far we really could get. So then my sophomore year, you know, that's when COVID happened and our season was canceled, unfortunately. So we just had like just practices, really. And then my junior year, we ended up winning our whole conference championship, the NESCAC.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough.
It's thing to do. I know who's in your conference there. That's not easy.
The NESCAC's not easy. It's a war zone. It's a war zone, to say the least, especially women's basketball, because so before we won the NESCAC championship in the 2021 to 2022 season, only three women's basketball schools in the NESCAC has ever won it before. And I can't remember what year the NESCAC was founded, but it was probably like 19 something. But from that point until now, in women's basketball, the only schools to win a NESCAC championship was either Amherst, Bowdoin, or Tufts. And so we were kind of like, you know, turning the page a little bit, which was really exciting. And then as a result of winning our conference championship, we were automatically in the NCAA tournament, and which was really cool. Won the first round game, a wild buzzer beater. Like, it was like insane. Like, I'm sure there's a clip of like the final 30 seconds of that game out there somewhere.
Wow.
It like the wildest thing you would see. And then we made it to the second round, and it was such a cool year. And after the NESCAC championship, after winning that, we were down at Trinity College in Connecticut. We drove, it was like 4-ish hours back up to Lewiston, Maine. And like the whole school, like they made posters, banners, like it was so cool. Cause we were just like driving the bus back on campus and everyone was just so happy for us. It was so cool.
That's a neat moment. I like hearing that story. I can imagine that's a memory you will take with you for a long, long time. Then you go not only, so then I want to talk about this kind of transition where you have the typical experience where you get done with your sports career. You did go on, by the way, let's not forget to mention this, to throw at Bates for the track and field team. But then really what happened, I guess, after your senior year, you didn't really know much about what you were going to do and kind of how you were going to use your athlete, you know, brand, if you will, as I like to say, and what you were going to do next in your career. But you did have this CrossFit thing to lean back on. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So how this kind of started was during that COVID year, my sophomore year, the fitness centers at Bates were not always closed, but a lot of time,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times they would be closed and, you know, there was heavy, heavy restrictions on that. And I was like, I don't want to get out of shape. Especially because in the winter, like it's so cold, it's hard to walk outside. Yeah. And so I was kind of looking at gyms around the area, but then at that time, also what was coming up on like my social media feed, like when I was looking at, you know, different stuff to do in the gym and like all that kind of stuff, was like all these CrossFit athletes and just how their bodies are just so strong and they're able to do such a wide variety of things. Like they're able to lift really heavy. They're able to run like a super far distance, like the whole stretch. It wasn't like specifically focused on just one area. And so I was like, this would be really cool to try. So kind of like as my 20th birthday present to myself, I went to CrossFit 196, which was only like 7-ish minutes from Bates, you know, to try it out. Fell in love with it. It's like, it was the most like butt kicking workout like that I've ever had at this point. And I was
And you've been a high school, you know, basketball player, you've been a college basketball player, and you're getting your butt kicked.
Oh, definitely getting my butt kicked. And I was like, I need more of this. Like, I want to, yeah, exactly. I need more. Like, I want to stay in shape, especially in preparation.
Right. You don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I always wanted to be prepared. And so then, so ever since then, I've been attending there. And then when I kind of had some downtime over the summer, like in between, I guess, like my summer jobs. And I was like, I'm so into this. I might as well get my L1 certificate, which is like the first kind of coaching certificate. Okay. Like there's different levels of coaching certificates, but that's like the most basic one. And yeah, that's what allows you to start coaching classes. And so I got that the summer, I think it was August of 22. So not this past August, but the one before. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the box was, I believe she was around 6 months pregnant at the time that I got my level one. And so, and I was a regular member of the 6 a.m. classes. And so she was like, would you want to coach the 6 a.m. classes? Like when I'm on maternity leave.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, sure. He's kind of like just throwing me in the fire. But yeah, that's great. Sometimes that's the best way to do it.
That's just, right. That's right.
Yeah. Just to hop right in. So I was coaching the 6 a.m. classes. And then I was also doing the way my first semester senior year class schedule was like. My first class didn't start until 10:30.
Perfect.
So I was able to coach the 8:30 classes as well, which were, we call them our simplified classes. So those, so I did like the, so I coached the 6 a.m. CrossFit class, and then I would usually do like homework in between. And then at 8:30 is when I did the simplified one, which is for a lot of our beginners, a lot of our more older population. Gym population, but it was great. And it was a lot of really good experience.
That's a really cool story. I like that. Cause you kind of, like I like to say, you turn a negative into a positive. You were like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I'm also just going to teach. And now I'm just going to do this. And I'm going to go to school and I'm going to do it all. So it was really cool to see that. So then let's talk about this. Now, as you look back at that CrossFit situation, I'm thinking about this progression to what was going to be professional, potentially, women's basketball under this LA Maples team, which was semi-pro. And then you go on to get this invite from the main mayhem. What, talk about mayhem. What happened in those, like, since May 2023, it seems like a craziness for you.
Yeah. So I feel like craziness just follows me. Like, my mother likes to say, she's like, Jenna, like, I've seen you a couple weeks ago, and now it's just like everything's just changed. Dang. Like, what happened? And, so I guess to start, so one of my teammates from Bates, Kayla,
on the basketball team.
On the Bates basketball team. Sorry. she did her summer internship going into her senior year with the LA Maples, kind of being like their media person. Okay. And so she was like, hey, they're looking for, you know, like college players to in the summer that still want to be in shape for their college seasons, but to practice against them for bodies. And so last summer I was like, sure. Cause you know, I was going into my senior year of college and I was like, the more reps I get, the better.
Yeah.
So Kayla and I, we would practice with them for their first season, and their first season, they were pretty successful. And so after I graduated college, I was like, I would love to be a part of that. I already, you know, like I knew the coach, I knew the owner, cause I was practicing with them the year before. Right. And I already knew some of the girls. So that was great. And So I joined that, but then quickly it was very much just like the structure of the team was unfortunately kind of falling under and crumbling. A lot of our games were canceled, which was unfortunate. So we only ended up having a couple games until we folded. And then I was kind of like, well, I would still like to play basketball, but at this point, no leagues that I can find that was at a high caliber. I mean, I still play women's rec basketball just for fun.
I was going to say the other thing I need to do here, because of going back way back to where we started with how I met you, is tell me how tall you are and how, you know, you're strong. Like, I mean, let's do height and weight here so people have an idea of how big you are.
Yeah. So I'm just shy of 200 pounds. I'm 199.
Okay.
And I'm almost 6'1". So I'm okay. I'm like 6 feet and like 3/4 inches or something.
Oh, I'd give you the 6'1". When I saw you, you were 6'1". I don't know. So you've got the size. It's not like you're, you know, a token, you know, point guard. I mean, you've got the size, and that's what I think allows you this opportunity is, number one, you got the CrossFit thing. So you are an athlete. You've still maintained your athleticism. Mm-hmm. You've got the drive. You want to compete. You want to play. This sport of basketball kind of gets slowly taken away from you. You're realizing your career is kind of like starting to go into rec league. And then you get this opportunity with the mayhem.
Yeah. So actually how that happened is, so I was at a gym, like just working out with my boyfriend.
Portland or where?
In it was in Auburn.
Auburn. Okay.
It was gym in Auburn, you know, just minding my own business. I literally had my headphones in, like I was totally minding my own business. And this girl comes up to me and like taps on her headphones. So she wants to talk to me.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I take off my headphones. She's like, "Hey, like you look really strong." And I'm like, "Thank you." And then she was like, "Would you ever consider playing women's tackle football?" And I was kind of like, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm like, I've never played football before in my entire life.
Right. Yeah.
So I was very blunt with her. I was like, my knowledge of football is very limited. I'm like, I really
You didn't say no. You didn't like say.
Oh, I didn't say no at all. I was kind of like, yeah. I was like, why not? I was like, of course.
You were prefacing it with, I'm not sure that this is a great idea, but I'm willing to give it a try.
I was completely open to it. I was like, of course. Like, I would probably love it. I'm like, I might not know all of the logistics with football because I, you know, never played it before, but right. I'm always down to tackle someone. I'm always down to run.
Getting physical, right? Getting physical. Yeah, that's what you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. So I'm like, hey, if you need someone to tackle, if you need someone it. To, or you, if you need someone to get tackled, if you need someone to run, I'm like, I'm your girl. Like,
I'm your girl. Yeah.
I'll do it. I'm like, fun. So she's like, great. Like, this is our next open tryout. And I'd love to see you there. So she sent me like all the info, all that good stuff. And so I went to the first one and it was just so cool. It was all of these just really strong women, just like all in one room together.
Wow, that's empowering. Yeah.
And I was just like, this is just so cool. And I consider myself pretty strong, but definitely I would say like, there's some other women on there that you can tell are like, insanely strong, as you could probably imagine.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And so it was just such a cool experience, and a lot of, you know, because women's tackle football is not really like a huge thing, so not a lot of young girls grow up in that.
Yeah.
So the coaching staff is very patient because a lot of women on that team were recruited for various reasons, either, you know, they're just really strong or they're really fast or something like that. And then they actually learn football as they go
Turn them into football players. They don't come in as football players.
So they take people's natural assets and then they turn that into a team. And so I'm really excited. So we've had a couple open practices since then. Our practices officially start in January.
Okay.
And
where do you guys play your home games? Is it at the
play them down in Portland. They're going to be outside, but our we're going to be practicing indoors until April just because the snow and
stuff. Where do you practice indoors?
We practice next to the Fitness Factory. So there's like the Fitness Factory, which is a gym in the Westbrook, Portland area. I believe it's in Portland. And then right next to the Fitness Factory is this huge dome turf area. So it's right in there down in Portland.
Well, and that's one of the challenges, right? Of like, and you know this from, you know, being in Maine, is that, you know, you've got to find time and place to be able to practice and not be out in the elements if you can, to try and get your reps in and everything else. So that makes complete sense. So when do the games start? Let's get on the game schedule.
Yeah. So our games start in April.
April. Okay.
And so we're the only women's tackle football team in Maine. So only our home games will be in Maine. We don't have any away games in Maine. Okay.
What other teams are in the league? Like around what is it, New England, or how
around far? New England? Yep. So we play a handful of games: Connecticut, Mass, New York, kind of that area.
Okay.
Last year they flew down to Florida for the playoffs. Cool.
Yeah,
which was pretty cool. So there is some travel with this, which is awesome.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's really cool. But it's
and you're a tight end. You're a tight end.
I am. So yeah. I'm still learning more of my position, but yeah. So I'm a tight end, which I guess makes sense because I'm taller.
Yeah.
I'm muscular, but like more on the leaner side. So he was like, yeah, you have the body type for a tight end. You'll be a tight end.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Sounds good to me.
No, I think that fits your personality pretty well. And then let's talk about how long you plan to play professional women's football.
As long as it's fun, and as long as it's what I like keeps me going, because I always need like that physical outlet and a way to be competitive.
Yeah.
And I've always found that in sports, whether it be basketball, throwing, or even in CrossFit, like with like CrossFit competitions. So this is I'm like, you know what? Like, this is just another area.
Another chapter. Explore.
Yeah, exactly. It's another chapter. It's another area to be competitive.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see what happens, because you know, it's something I've never done before. So
yeah, it's well, I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it's a great story about, you know, how you've transitioned several times in your athletic career to do new things and given you opportunities that you didn't think you would have, you know? So I can guarantee you, when you were that 10-year-old basketball player, someone said, you're going to play for the Maine Mayhem in the Women's Football League, you would have laughed and so hard.
Yeah, I would have been like, I don't think so. And then it's just amazing how things change and shift.
Yeah. That's really neat. Let's talk about kind of, as you look back on all that's happened to you, obviously even going through college and then, you know, transitioning into your next phase after college, just some advice you might have for an athlete, that what's going to be hard for them? What is going to be, you know, some moments they need to look out for, who they should be leaning on, things like that.
I think especially when you're in college and you're in your college season, because college seasons are a grind. Like you're gonna hit a wall. For basketball, that wall usually happens in January when you're like, we've been going at this for 3 months. There's still 3 months left, and you have to remember your younger version that fell in love with this sport. So, and that's what you have to do it for yourself. You can't do it for anyone else.
Like, right. That's a good point.
Yeah. In my locker, at Bates, I had a picture of myself from when I was 10 at my very first travel basketball game. And I kept that picture hung up in my locker, and I would look at myself. I was so tiny when I was 10 years old, and I was like, as skinny as a rail. And I was like, this little girl had the biggest heart for this game. And I was like, do I want to have a 2.5 hour practice now with like a lot of whistles and a lot of sprints and a lot of yelling and a lot of running? No, but this little girl, her goal was to make it here, and you're here now. And so, you know, we're going to do this for her. And that's, you really have to dig deep when you hit those walls, like mid-season mark, where you're just like, the physical grind of it just keeps going, but you have to remember the why behind it.
Remember the why. I like that. That's a good way to put it. Now I'm curious, because Pliable obviously is very passionate about women in sports. I work with a lot of different female athletes, and one of the things they tell me is that, you know, oh, I'd love to play pro in whatever sport it may be. And then they'll say, you know, but financially, I don't think it's probably going to be feasible. Give me you don't have to get into exact numbers, but I mean, what does a typical women's professional football player make? A range,
it depends, at least for my team. I don't know necessarily, like other leagues, other teams might have a different structure, but for our team, it depends on the sponsors of the individual. So we have, so each player has to pay for like their own equipment, like helmet, pads, whatever, uniform, gym time. Because the team rents the facility,
right?
Like the turf that we play at, and each player has to
pay their way.
Into that amount. And so the more sponsors an individual gets, that's how they get paid. So I think it's roughly, well, I know the gym fee is $600 per player, at least for us, and equipment and uniform costs, I don't know the exact numbers of that, but that's probably an additional couple hundred. Yeah. And so with sponsors, so the sponsors will give to the team on your behalf. So then you don't have to pay for that. So like, say someone were to do like a $300 like sponsorship, then that's like $300 less that like I would have to pay.
You have to pay.
So, but
so you're literally going out and finding sponsors then too.
But so if a sponsor, like if you get enough sponsorships where that exceeds the amount that you
need, then that's what you're gonna get paid.
Then that's when you get paid, is that difference.
Wow. Okay. So, what's interesting about that is obviously with this whole name, image, and likeness thing that's going on now in college sports, you've actually got athletes kind of doing that now, if you think about it, right? They're trying to actually make money doing it that way. So what an interesting question that I asked you how much you're getting paid, and you're literally telling me how much you're paying.
pretty much how that works.
Yeah. And so you do have a regular day job. You know, I know a lot of the times people get lost in that, is you have a regular day job because you got to do it all.
Oh yeah. I would say all of my teammates have a pretty regular day job. Some of them might only work part-time, but most of my teammates have a full-time job, just because, you know,
the games must be on the weekends, right? So it kind of makes it a little bit easy there to schedule those and things, but I could see how travel would be different. And then you got to stay away from the family or your job schedule, et cetera. So that makes sense. Okay, well, that just gives me a really good insight. Like I said, I'm always here to try and promote women's sports, but I didn't know that was going to be the case when I asked you that question. So I'm always learning something. So, all right, well, that's cool, Jenna. I really appreciate your time. You've enlightened a lot of people. I think you're going to help a lot of people Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I, you know, for all the parents out there that are listening to Jenna and the athletes as well, she has hit the nail on the head on a lot of this stuff. And I think it's really important that we all learn from the opportunities that she's had and continues to have. So we'll get out there. I'm going to try and catch one of these games and see out there in action. So
sounds good. Please do.
All right. Sounds good. That is Jenna. And this is the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. I'm Greg Glenn. We're glad you could tune in, and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at PliableMarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at PliableMarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.